Call December 12th meeting of Ways and Means to order. Can I get approval of the November 8th, 14th, 20th, 21st, and special meeting of October 23rd?
Make that motion.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Come on, gentlemen. Resolution 486. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. We haven't really had an update, so I'm just going to suggest we take no action.
Works for me.
Yeah, that works for me, but I don't have Mike, but do you know when, I mean, what's happening? Is it going to, the director's here, is that going to be, obviously it's not going to be done this term, but are you going to be bringing it forward to start next term, or what's happening with that, the updates?
The last update I had, the county attorney was looking at some of the, defined terms. The way that the original template or the niche framework for the defined sort of kind of terminology that was, that the county attorney had concerns with them being called defined terms. So he was going through the policy to kind of reclassify those kinds of terms so that they don't have they were being tripped up on these formal definitions of things that aren't necessarily formal. That's one thing. The second thing is that there's certain they had concerns about the actual terminology for classifications. So if we're looking at certain types of or how do we classify documents, so for example, confidential or internal or public use. So there's a certain framework that documents can be classified, and it can get very cumbersome. So the county attorney has concerns about how we can rein in those classifications so they're a little bit more easy to implement. So I don't have an update from the county attorney. I expected some comments in the document, which I haven't seen. I haven't seen those comments. So that's where it stands for me.
Thank you.
So you mentioned the original template. The original template was a policy from another, an existing policy from another area?
Correct.
And it wasn't a charter form of government?
Sorry?
It wasn't a similar charter form of government as we have here?
That's my understanding, yes.
So that's where the terminology is coming into play, which I think is, this has taken a long time, and I'm not sure that should have been our template.
True, but I think the other thing is that the way that the security policy, that my thinking about that the security policy has to have some longevity, right? So if we get it right, you know, it may take us some time to get it right. Once we get it right, it gives us some teeth, it gives us some guidelines, it gives us a good, solid framework to move forward on. So coming to, you know, understanding some of those rules of engagement, some of those terms, I think it's important for us to do it as we move forward into the 21st century. If we have all these new emerging risks that come in, new technology that comes in, if we get it right this time, it's going to be much easier for us to implement it moving forward and have some, the policy can kind of exist. I mean, the current policy in 1999 is really, we can't even, there's not a lot of enforcement in it. So I think if we get it right the first this time, I think,
I don't disagree that it's something we'd like to have. I just, no other similar charter form of government out there, no other county has a policy that we could have started with. It sounds like we started with something that's making it really difficult for us to get this done because it doesn't get set up. I mean, this policy is surely going to deal with the legislature. I mean, after the county attorney's done, I think our attorneys are going to have to now go through it, and we may have a bunch of objections because it doesn't treat the legislature fairly. After that, the comptroller may go through it and say, well, we don't like the way the comptroller's handled in here, which is what we circle back around to my point. I don't know if we're working off of the right template.
Fair question. We could start all over again.
That's nothing, unfortunately, we're going to do tonight. So we'll take no action. 364, can I have a motion?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. 432, can I have a motion?
I'll move for discussion.
Second. I'll second for discussion. Let's say or no.
Sorry.
This is yours that you want to speak on.
So we did it.
Can you, can somebody handle this thing on the mic?
Take no action, that would be good. Thank you.
Do you want us to postpone this, or are you, looking for its rollover to next year?
This can just roll over to next year.
Okay.
It's turned into a more complex problem, so we're still working on it.
So, Chair,
yes.
So anything that's on the resolution for this year, calendar year, that we don't take action on tonight,
Anything that we don't take action on in December of this year has to be reintroduced in the next legislature, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
596, can I have a motion? Second. Legislator Erner has asked that we postpone this one.
Wait.
Yeah. Second. Discussion. All in favor?
I'm going to be opposed to postponing. I don't think anything's going to change in a week. It's going to gum up our agenda next week when we've already got an absolute packed day. But
I'm going to postpone it as well.
I'm going to get all right, all those in favor, postpone it then. Opposed? Okay. All right, so on this resolution then, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Okay. Defeated. Resolution 667. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second? Second. Thank you. Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried?
Hold on, I need to
move. Yeah, 67 seconds.
I'm opposed. I feel like it's premature. Can I just ask for clarification? Do we own this property yet? I understand if we don't.
Do we have a closing date? This resolution is upon closing. That if we go into effect, if we don't close, it's nothing. Once we do close, we go to the town of Ulster and subdivide to get to a point where the nice young Latino family that's living there doesn't get evicted, and we can start working with them on a long-term solution. So I just don't understand why we can't go ahead and start the process of subdividing this residential house away from a commercial property that we're buying, and we just happen to be getting this house. Has anyone gone and visited the family since the last time we talked? Still no.
So my concern is today is the same concern that I had when this resolution was first presented, and that is that we are basically waiting for the town of Ulster to do something that they may never do. And by the way, that district allows for commercial. So if we go to the town and say, can you subdivide this to make it a residential only? They may just say no. And then what? Then what do we do?
Right.
Now we, you know, so my thing is like, so this is kind of like the cart before the horse, right? If the town had already rezoned that and said, no, we're going to make that strictly residential, that'd be one thing. But now we're going to have a resolution that says, if the town does that, right? But what if they don't? Where are we now with this resolution? What does that mean? Right?
Thank you. This resolution is to subdivide the property to create another lot. It is not to create a residential lot or do any spot zoning. And you can have houses. I think the masses in the town of Ulster have multiple brick houses, at least at the time, that are in commercial property. So we're not looking for a change in the status of the property, just to subdivide it so we don't take another housing unit off the market. And the county, it's my understanding, cannot be a landlord. So we would either have to subdivide and turn this over to UCEDA, or we would have to evict and turn it into another office space.
Senator Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are alternatives. If the town says no, then you have the Zoning Board of Appeals. We can go in front of us. So, I mean, it's not a dead issue. And, I mean, we do have recourse, and I think this is the right thing to do.
I see. Thank you. So I just want to make, you know, I want to make sure that I understand this correctly. First of all, the current property owner who owns that property has already issued eviction papers to the people that live there. Is that correct? Told them they have to leave. I think that was
they were told. I was told by the family that they were told by the owner of the property there wasn't anything to do. He's selling it to the county and to basically find another place to live. They were very upset and don't have a place to go as of right now. And were quite appreciative when I stopped by the other day and spoke to them and let them know there are some legislators that didn't represent anything. I said, I'm a legislator and I'm going to try my best to make sure the county does not.
So no one's been evicted from this property yet, right? So I don't know, you know, again, you know, this is not a guarantee. The town does not have to subdivide that property. It's got to go before the planning board, the town board, and maybe even the zoning board. I'm not sure about the third one, but certainly the planning board and then the town board for approvals. And, you know, we're making this a contingency here that, you know, we want to do that. I just feel like it's the cart before the horse. If we owned it, that'd be entirely different, right? It was ours, and, you know, we were there. I don't want to see anybody get evicted. Don't get me wrong. I just feel like there's just like lining up. You know?
If everything that people are saying they would like to have happen could happen after closing down. So it's just an attempt to lock something in before the process is happening, as opposed to, you know, I agree with legislator Cato. It just seems like we're taking actions, trying to take action on a property we don't even own yet. And I'm very uncomfortable receiving third-party descriptions of what some of their conversation was. When those parties are in front of us, then I am much more comfortable.
Same one. Feel free to go talk to them. Because I have. So if anyone else talked to him, we could have some more points of view. To be honest with you, if anyone in this room might talk to that family, I have a hard time believing you would be in support of this resolution. It might not happen. It probably will. I'd be shocked if the town closer doesn't let us create that lot there. I'd be shocked. And if we don't, there's recourse we can take, as Kevin said. I just don't know where the empathy is. I don't know where the compassion is. Like I said on other nights, there's all these talk, there's all this discussion, even right in municipalities around here about eviction protections and landlord policies. And here we're about to become the landlord. We haven't even spoken to this family. This family with three young children are about to be booted out. The landlord has told the people we're negotiating with, I've bought properties. I've talked to renters before I bought rental properties. It's something that you can do. We've chosen not to. We chose to let the landlord tell these people to get out of sight, out of hand, punches pilot them, you know, wash our hands of it. It's not on our conscience, but it is. This is in our hands, and we could certainly do a lot more, and we're not. And it's surprising to me with all these conversations that we have about different policies protecting people. Now, this is one family that we can absolutely control. We always want to go to the private sector and get involved with rental, renter-landlord disputes. And sometimes I think these policies that mean the best end up causing more problems than they are. But it's because we say we care about these families that don't have anywhere to live and are being evicted or pushed out. And here we are doing it ourselves. And we sit back and do it.
Let's see the list.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, I mean, I sat on the Zoning Board of Appeals for 28 years. As long as you meet the setbacks of the current zone, you cannot deny a subdivision. And when you subdivide a property, it's not for residential or for whatever. It's whatever's in the zone as long as you meet the requirements of the setbacks. So it can't be denied.
I say no.
Yeah, I just want to say for the record that I believe that handling this contract, purchase, and handling all of these details is an executive function, and I do not believe that I, as a legislator, should insert myself into that process. I also don't believe that any other legislator should do that. I can't control that. But I can control what I believe is right. And I do not see any inclination to evict this family, which is what's being proposed or being stated. So I would like to proceed with not evicting this family, but let the executive handle the contract, as I believe it's their purview.
Mr. Shakia?
Yeah, so the resolution states very clearly, resolved, that Ulster County will complete a subdivision parcel SBL, whatever, create a new parcel for the occupied single-family dwelling. The county doesn't have the authority to create a new party, a new subdivision. We don't own that. It's not, even if we do own it, we don't have the authority to make a subdivision. We can request through the town board and the planning board. We don't have the authority to make a subdivision. Right? So this is my problem. Right? I mean, you know, it seems to me like we really need this flushed out a little more through attorneys, for one thing, to say that is this something that we can legally do? Has anyone spoken to attorneys to see if this is something we can do? Can we interject ourselves in between the sale of the county and the owner of the property right now? Do we have the authority to do that? Is this resolution legal? And the idea that, you know, the county will complete a subdivision of the parcel, we can't do that. The county cannot do that.
Is there any?
It's the act of doing it. We're literally creating a policy to ourselves to say we're going to go do this. All we're doing is mandating that the day-to-day operations goes ahead and starts the process of completing that act. We're not saying we have a magic wand and we're going to do that. We're saying we're going to do the process, we're going to start the process of doing that. That would be our intent to do. It's basically a mandate for the, if you're looking to make an amendment where you like the language a little better, then I'm open to it. But I don't think you're into this either way, so I'm not really sure if it's really about the language or you're just looking for things to pick it apart because you don't want to do what we want to do here.
Did you
want to
respond or can I?
Yeah. So simply, I haven't made a personal judgment on whether I want to do this or don't want to do it. What I'm saying is I'm concerned about the way the resolution is written and the authority that the legislature has to do what this says. It doesn't say that we're going to go through the motions. It says Ulster County will complete subdivision of parcel to create a new parcel for the occupied single-family dwelling. And the county clearly does not have the authority to do that.
How would you go about doing it?
Legislator Maloney.
I wouldn't do it through the county. I would, you know, if the property owners would like to have this done, they could go to the town where the authority lies to make a subdivision. The county doesn't do that. So if the county owns it, then the county can go ahead and do it. But to make it contingent and say that the county will complete a subdivision, we don't have that authority. That's my concern. Now, if the county was owning this and this came as a standalone resolution, say we just purchased this property, we now want to make this a subdivision for single family house, my hand would go up faster than anyone. That's my point.
Let's do the TCU.
Thank you. So as a legislator, it is my responsibility to assure that our policies are continued throughout our resolutions. And we have a policy that we are going to be supportive of housing, that we are looking to increase inventories or at least maintain them and not lose any. I feel this resolution needs to be in this resolution so we can be assured that all attempts will be made so that we don't lose another housing unit off of our inventory. And, you know, whether it's done by the existing owner or it's done by us, it needs to be attempted. So we have to follow through with this. Otherwise, it's just going to fall under the radar and we're going to move forward and we're going to be taking the housing unit off of the market again.
Mr. Roberts.
Yeah, I agree with my colleagues, Dean Maloney, that you know, once this resolution is passed, that we will complete a subdivision and create a new parcel by the proper process. That's, you know, we're not going to waver magic wand, as Joe said. We're going to take care of this. We're going to take care of that family, and we're going to do what's right.
Say, Mark.
Through the chair of the county attorney's office, I'm sorry, through the chair to the county, through the chair of the county executive's office, somebody, I don't know who this should be directed to, but, and welcome, Jamie, by the way. Has the county attorney's office reviewed this for legal sufficiency, to your knowledge? I haven't seen any memos come through.
We don't
have an executed contract, so no, we haven't reviewed it in this light. Does anybody else want to speak before I make a motion? I make a motion we postpone this for 1 week. In that time, I sincerely hope that the county attorney's office avails it of its ability to review this. Otherwise, I'm going to vote yes. Well, I think we'll do, yeah. But
I'll second.
I just, you know, I think that something of this magnitude that's coming before the legislature, I'm flabbergasted that they haven't at least taken a look at it yet, but they have a week, so work, 6 days.
All right. Well, we already cast a vote on this.
We did take full vote, but I'll tell you, yeah, we'll have to see, so. All in favor for postponing 1 week?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 668. Have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll pull it.
Pull it. Okay, 685. Have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 686.
I'll move the block 686, 87, 88, 89.
Not 89, sorry, 88. Second. Discussion. All in favor, block.
Aye.
Block.
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion. Mr. Chair, do you have any recollection of how many park grants are left open?
Don't put the chair.
I can speak to that. So there have been 16 that have been granted, and that's where we're at. There are none open.
How many have been allocated for this process? All of them?
Correct. Yes. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Votes carried. 689. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Second discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 690.
I'll move it.
Second. Second discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 695. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Second. Second discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 696. Can I have a motion? Second.
Third.
Session. Scruff.
Give a overview of what this project calls for. The county executive's office.
Thank you. Thank
you.
This is a transportation alternatives grant that is dealing with a crossing on Washington Avenue at the end of the access point to Ulster Savings and a insurance building, which also has an access to the recently completed Keystone Rail Trail. This TAP alternatives grants are generally available to do work with respect to pedestrian safety. In this case, when we looked at the ways that we could improve pedestrian safety for the crossing on Washington Avenue, the decision was made that rather than a pedestrian signal, a full signal was more appropriate.
and it also makes improvements to those two access points that we just mentioned to those private businesses.
So basically we're renovating a sidewalk?
Actually, no. We're going to do some sidewalk renovations here, mainly to connect from the sidewalk down to some of the businesses themselves. But most of this money is developed in terms of the intersection, the crosswalks, the pet heads, and the signalization.
But is this county property?
The property is on some places, the property is owned by New York State. In some instances, there's private sector property involved. We'll have to do some land acquisition work with respect to that as we realign and redesign some of the access points associated with this signal. We also have conversations with the jurisdictional ownership of the road, which is NYSDOT. NYSDOT has given us a letter of acknowledgement that essentially they're okay with these improvements, and we're having discussions with them as to whether or not they can meet the requirements associated with the local share.
How much of this renovation, or how many feet of sidewalk is going to be renovated?
I don't have that on the top of my head, Legislator Roberts. Sorry.
1,000 feet?
Oh, no, less than that.
I was told that we have a sidewalk in Clintondale that is on a county road, and I was told that we cannot do that sidewalk because we don't own it. And the county has played their fair share in damaging that said sidewalk on Maple Avenue in Clintondale, Irby's district, as a matter of fact.
In this instance, the sidewalks would be on nine side properties. They're not on private properties. They're one piece of the sidewalk, which would connect in on the Holster Savings Bank. It's not a critical piece, but we've shown it in some of the drawings.
Thank you.
I think I was after the same points as Kevin, where I brought sidewalks a lot, especially on county roads. It makes sense to me. It's something we're told we've never done, we never do, but then at times, we do sidewalks work, and this isn't even necessarily a county road. There might be some that are kind of on private property. I'm not against it. I might even be for it more often, especially on county roads, but I hope we keep it in mind when we talk about those things. We do a lot of trail work. To me, sidewalks are trails, and at times I think we ought to think about improving sidewalks, and we're doing it now.
Of the project, how much is sidewalks?
Somewhere in the neighborhood. Sorry, we don't have planning level cost estimates yet. We have broad cost estimates for the entire project based on what we know that signalization costs. But generally, sidewalks of this nature are probably less than a couple hundred thousand in this particular instance. And some of that has to do with the fact that we have to put some of the pet heads in and crosswalks in associated with those sidewalks and do some work with respect to how those sidewalks meet ADA requirements. We actually did look at additional sidewalk work out here, but the amount of work that we have to do, sidewalks are in pretty bad shape as we move essentially from this place where we're doing the improvements all the way down to Schwenk Drive. But those have some private requirements with respect to improvements on those sidewalks.
Would it be fair to say that out of the $1.5 million total, it's funding, it's a grant, really?
So we did amend, yes, that's correct. We did amend this in committee. We looked at the work that we're doing, looking at some of the costs for signalization that has gone up significantly. And so it was amended in committee. I don't know whether you have the amendment in front of you. It's to $1.8 million, $360,000 of local share. I don't know whether you've seen that or not, but it was amended in the Public Works Committee to do that, and it was amended in the Economic Development Committee as well.
But we don't have a breakdown as to, of the $1.8 million, you don't have it broke down into segments of the project and how much each segment is?
Not at this time. We would go through a pre-application process. The pre-application process would come back, and then we'd start to break down and get actual engineering cost estimates.
I mean, if you don't have a feel for how much even the sidewalks are, how do you get to 1.8 if you have it at some level broke down generically, a generalized?
So I think I did give you some indication that we're somewhere around $200,000 to $300,000 for the sidewalks themselves.
That's a good number.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess my point was to Mr. Roberts, that was the difference. You, for the one that you were referring to previously, for Clintondale, you were looking for county funds to pay for it. This is actually coming out of the grant.
It It was actually 80-20, the same thing. Amber was said we could apply for the 80% TAP grant, too, and it would be $60,000 for county money. The same as this, over $300,000 county money. I mean, I'm beginning to think that infrastructure projects in the southern and western part of the county take, you know, take the back seat to the projects in the city of Kingston.
All those in favor? Opposed?
Don't give up your mic yet, Dennis. Don't give up your mic yet. I have a good question.
Motion.
For I'll move it.
Second.
A second.
Discussion.
I have a question. 697. Is it 100% federal funding?
I'm sorry, please remind me what 697 is.
The FHI Studios?
That's correct.
100%?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carries. 690E. Can I have a motion?
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Yes, please.
It says on the whereas on the bottom, the second to last, that the library assistants, majority of the libraries have agreed to propose distribution and equivalent resources. There's also something in here that says some of this money may be going to other libraries outside the county. Is that accurate?
Interesting. At the committee, I understood them to say that they are in cooperative, that the county libraries in cooperative agreements with other counties on some of their resources.
Yeah, so that's exactly what it is. Like some of these things, like, for example, Canopy, well, Sir County's contribution to that is $35,000 of a much, much larger bill. That's a free online streaming service that the public libraries offer of movies, television shows, and things like that. So, yeah, so they what they do is the Mid-Hudson Library Association goes out and bids this and gets it at a price, and then Ulster County pays them to share the services. It actually is cheaper. You know, we introduced something last year, a second language program that we funded at the last minute in this committee, and the Mid-Hudson Library Group liked it so much that they're funding it themselves now. So a lot of times when we do these things, we take action locally. They do expand, so a greater audience pays for them as well.
All those in favor?
Aye.
699, can I move?
I'll move 699 and 700 if that works for everybody. If not, then.
I just had questions.
All right, no, that's fine. I'll move 699.
Second.
I'll second. Discussion. Can we get details on what Cornell actually is programming? I still can't get a good sense as to what, you know, we're paying this money, what's actually being done. It's an offline discussion that I guess that I'm not going to hold it up for that. It's a lot of money.
I mean, it's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of educational programming. There's 4-H. There's the Agricultural Society. There's a lot of things that Cornell does. It's education, predominantly agriculture education.
We get like reports on this stuff.
I think Cornell puts out a report every year.
Yeah, they have an annual report that came from our committee. I can get it.
It's good. I'm just curious. Just stuck out. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 700, can I motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 701. I have a motion.
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 702. Can I have a motion as presented?
I'll move it as presented.
Second.
Aye. I mean.
So.
Okay. So, the presented amendment, thank you to Debbie Clark Feaster, technical amendment, because what's proposed is actually a tight capital funds, not specific. I also have another amendment that came out of for the committee to consider for that, which I'll circulate. That came out of discussion last night at Public Works, looking for more specificity, and began the conversation in environment where legislator Maloney was also looking for specificity and a clawback. The clawback was deemed difficult, if not impossible, to do due to the fact that funds going into this fund are required to be moved in by legislative action, and therefore a policy with a clawback requiring clawback to go into the funds became complicated. So in the interim, in response to legislator Litt's concerns, the language that's being circulated was drafted by the executive office, which requires, you'll see in the two resolves, project-specific alternatives analysis for any project that's presented to be utilizing these funds, and also annual project-level energy reporting. I'd remind members that these kinds of dedicated funds require legislative approval both in and out without a threshold. So even if the proposal was to spend as minimal as $100 out of the fund, it would come to the legislature for approval, and you could really weigh in and dig in on the veracity of whether or not it really applies with the decarbonization ideals. But in response to legislator Litt's concerns, I think it's good to include the project-specific alternative analysis by requirement. So now any project coming to you to utilize these funds will present you with one of those analyses.
Are you making that?
Yeah.
Just on that?
Yeah, so I would make the amendment as secondarily circulated, which includes both.
Yeah, so quick question. So this $18 million in reserve fund is coming out of?
This was a proposal presented by Executive Desker for the Decarbonization Fund. It is bringing us into compliance with our fund balance. So without this, we would be $18 million out of whack in our fund balance policy. So the restriction, and restriction is aimed so that we know that we have a lot of aging infrastructure, and with this fund, we'll utilize this fund to offset what very often has been raised as financial hurdles to doing the greener alternative. Now, with this fund, the money will be there to do sometimes the more financially difficult things.
So this $18 million stays in a reserve, and it's carried forward year after year after year until it's expended.
Yes, earning interest, I would say, within the fund. And again, with there really is nothing that has more legislative accountability than these kinds of restricted funds. Every dollar coming out needs legislative approval. And other than the dollars accruing via interest, money going in needs legislative approval, just like this creation of the fund requires legislative approval. So project by project, future legislators are going to see what's being utilized through this fund. And thanks to Legislator Litt's comments, the two results will require that each has the project's specific alternative analysis and the annual reporting, energy reporting as an output of this.
I was just curious, is there any time frame that it has to be spent down by, or is this just until it's spent? And is there any plan for shoring it up when it gets depleted?
No, that will be up to you all. I mean, if the fund is successful, you know, and you all are pleased and the need is there and we have enough in fund balance, just like in coming resolutions in relation to tax reserve, you might decide, well, looking at our fund balance, we have X amount of excess, and it makes sense to put it into this fund so that we can come into compliance. You know, our fund balance policy, the fact that it relates to restricted funds rather than assigned funds was intentional and smart of this legislature to do, but it's also this is how we come into compliance with actually either spending the money, returning the money, or putting in restricted funds.
And just a quick follow-up, can the funds stay alive with a zero balance?
I do not know the answer, but I think if it had a zero balance, it would be expended. It wouldn't exist anymore.
Like the lines, just so we wouldn't have to recreate the wheel. We've got a reserved fund, then we spend it down, but we don't replenish it for a certain amount of time. But then we decide we want to replenish it, the fund is still active, so we don't have to go through the process again of creating another reserve fund for the exact same purpose.
I don't know if I'm inclined to say you'd have to go through the action to create it if it actually was fully depleted, but you're going to get annual reporting, so you're going to know if it's coming down. You'll have well enough time to make that. It's not going to jump out of the
We keep bucking it just to keep it alive.
Yeah. I don't think you'll be surprised by it at all. Between the there's a sense of reporting requirements both to the executive, to the legislature, and just as it's reported out as a separate count in budgeting as well, so you'll see it on a pretty regular basis.
Thanks, Molly. It's good. We're collecting interest. I think we're thinking about that more these days, all this sitting money. We were over for a lot of years, so for many years, I believe that we had too much. We're doing something about that. That is a good thing. I'm happy there's no time frame. I wouldn't want to start a clock with money like this. We may go and just start replacing windows or something, which at times we may do in a good way. As far as the clawback goes, what I was looking for was just a mandate, kind of the inability for us to transfer a property. We've had it happen a lot. Over the last couple of years, we transferred quite a bit of properties to public beneficiary corporations, whether it's CDA or the Housing Corp. And I hate to see that happen where we go invest this money and then we hand the property off at such a discounted price that we're basically doing it ultimately for the private sector, which is maybe something they were going to do anyways. And the clawback could have come back to the county regularly. I didn't say it had to go back into that account. And if that was the only legal holdup, then that is a little frustrating. I mean, I'm letting this go, but I thought it was decent language and protection for the county. And if that was the only holdup, that does get frustrating because I think it's time where we're going to have to start. Every time we get an opinion from the county attorney's office that kind of derails something we're trying to do, I think we ought to start getting quick opinions from our own lawyers as well because it seems like we get legal opinions at the last minute that kind of, like I said, derail us. When had we gotten a little earlier, we could have cleaned it up legally and maybe done it anyways, but it seems to be a pattern. The last thing I'll say is I hope that this doesn't turn into resolutions that we don't hear a lot of, plans that we don't hear a lot about, and then it's in front of us. We got about a week to decide, the project sounds great, we move ahead. I hope the county executive starts coming to the legislature with whole lists of things they're thinking about for this money. And letting us discuss it. It certainly bleeds into policy. It's not just day-to-day operations is spending it, overseeing the project, and doing it, but policy certainly is which project to do, what we prioritize and what we don't. And the history of this legislature post-charter has that kind of as us getting things at the last second and all those policy-type decisions being made by the executive branch of government. We will see starting next year with this fund how that operates, and if we have a little more input early on in our opinion matter.
I just want to check that this is the version that was amended in Energy and Environment.
It is. Those few little changes we made is in there.
They are in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all.
Thank you. Yeah, I just going to say that, I think the resolution clearly states for $18 million. So when that $18 million goes, so does the reserve fund. That's my interpretation of this resolution, that you have to then do another reserve fund for whatever purpose. But this one is clearly for $18 million for this specific fund.
But you can put more in along the way.
Right.
There's certainly the ability to put more money in if you sell property, raise through taxes, or budgetary appropriations. You can increase it. But I'm just saying, the question was, what happens if it goes down to nothing? Well, then it goes away.
All those in favor of the amendment? Opposed?
Okay. Jasmine?
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed. 703. Can I have a motion?
Second. Second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 704. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
706. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 707. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 708. Can I have a motion? Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. 709.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 710. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 711. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. 712. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 713. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 714. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 715. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 716. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 717.
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Oops. Carried. The next several ones, 718, 20, 21, 22, essentially the next one's going forward. Deputy Executive Contreras could not be here tonight, so if there's questions, I just ask that we postpone them for 1 week. But if there is no issue, then we can pass it tonight. 718, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 720.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion?
Actually. Yeah. I mean, I can, you know what, I'll ask the question. I'll just make it up to myself. I'm okay with it.
Can I get a second on 720?
Second.
Okay. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 721. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? Favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 722. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 723. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Second.
Legislator Earn did ask for a postponement.
Can I ask a question of the committee?
Sure.
Is anybody going to vote for this next week? I'm not making a motion to postpone.
You know, out of respect for legislator, I'll make the motion to postpone.
If we postpone all of these resolutions that are going nowhere resolutions we're going to talk about for an hour next Monday, we should schedule a meeting for like 1 o'clock.
Yeah, how many of these you asked for postponement of how many? A whole bunch of them.
I feel like we had several of his languishing.
There's only two more.
Okay.
So one more.
Well, yeah. I'll make the motion and we'll see.
What's everybody think? I mean,
is there a second to postpone?
I'll second it for 30 days.
Can't do that.
I was going to bring up the same thing. I think if we take it up next year, I actually like the concept of this, but I think it really needs to be thought through for fairness, for how it would be executed. There's just a lot of questions I have about how this could work, if it can work. Volunteerism is, you know, one thing that we rely on a lot of, and but I also believe that we need to figure out ways to make this as inclusive a process as possible.
I push moments for 1 week.
I understand. Before we go any further, if there's not going to be a second for the postponement week, that's going to fail for lack of a second, and then we'll go back to discussion. All right. I failed for lack of a second.
I just, you know, to Lester Criswell's point, I have some concerns. I've always thought that mileage was the best way, and the boards and commissions qualify to get mileage and reimbursement for, you know, other certain expenses that they have. Mileage to me has always been a great equalizer, coming from, you know, the second or third farthest district from the county seat. You know, you get more mileage if you come from farther. You know, I have a concern about stipending boards and commissions because, you know, once you pay volunteers, they're no longer volunteers. You know, I understand the concern, and I believe me, as a member of the ambulance corps and the fire department, I understand how hard it is to get volunteers, but not sure that the best way to do that is to pay them stipends. So that's why I'm voting no. Aside from the idea, I think, as Mr. Criswell said, not being fully baked at this time, I can't support it in general.
Question? All those in favor? Opposed? Defeated. Resolution 724. Can I have a motion?
I'll move for discussion.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 725. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 726. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Second. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 727. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Oops. Carried. 728. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Oops. Carried. 729. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 730.
I'll move it.
Second? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 731. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 732. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second? Second. Discussion? Favor? Opposed? Carried. 733, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 734, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 735, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 736, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second? Discussion?
What do you want to do with stick notes?
Yep.
Do you have discussion on issue reference?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just, we're doing this for $12 a foot. Is that the going rate in Ulster County, or is that kind of cheap?
I'll answer because I actually looked into it today because I saw that and I questioned it myself. But in Allenville, that's actually $1 to $1.50 per square foot. It's pretty awesome.
And we're not charging utilities, but that's included in the rent. And I don't know about this, but it looks like it's a 5-year deal. We don't have an escalation clause at all on these.
We'll research that, but I believe that is correct, Legislator Roberts, that there's an escalation clause.
Well, the financial impact, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, it's all the same. Should we, I'd like to postpone that while he's doing the research.
Second. For a week?
Second.
I'll second it for a week, but I just want to say how excited I am to see things coming to the Drury Farber building. And I think it's a real shift, and also these services will be from Kipsey. So I'm happy to hold it for a week, but I also just think it's important to say that it's a really big step having services come to this building.
Having served on what works in my prior term as well, these leases generally often do not have this type of escalation, especially when there's a public service component of it. So I don't think this is unusual.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mr. Robert, that's part of the appeal of this is it's a benefit to for residents for services.
The family services, they're on the next one too at Golden Hill. Do they have a lot of contracts with the county? So just kind of like giving it, you know, do we give them money and they're giving it back to us? Is that how it works?
They deliver services to the county there.
But we pay for them services, I would take it under.
Grants and some county funds probably.
If this is standard practice that we're, we don't have an escalation clause, I'll withdraw my postponement if that's, with the chair.
I can withdraw a second.
All those in favor? This is 736.
Aye.
Aye.
With those sense relationship, I do think it's important and the information's out there, but we do have to keep an eye with some of these groups as far as what they're, what the people running them, whether they call it a CFO or a CEO or president or whatever. I think we should keep an eye on the salaries of a lot of these not-for-profits. And I'm going to start talking about it here and there because when we are giving, you know, ultimately, yes, it's providing a service, so we're giving them a very good rate. But at the end of the day, if that extra money is going into $200,000, $300,000 salaries, $500,000 salaries, one of the not-for-profits we enter into these types of contracts with, I think we got to talk about the great price we're giving you on the lease because it's just going into your pocket. That it's something we got to keep an eye on. And there are certain not-for-profits that I think are getting a little top-heavy. So. It's going into the future, something I'm going to be looking at bringing up.
All those in favor again?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. 737, can I have a motion?
Make a motion.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 740, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 742, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 744, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. All those in favor?
Thanks.
Carried. 746, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? I had a question. This is, cameras are included in this, price here. Consider the change to our capital plan. Will this technology be interoperable with new systems?
Just trying to look at the notes here, and then I have to talk to DPW.
Because I don't want to see us spend money twice, I'll actually make a motion to postpone 1 week.
I'll make the motion for you.
Thank you.
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
I just want to make sure that we're not going to do something now that in a year from now we're going to have to pay to make any of the numbers. 747, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 748, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 749, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 750, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 751, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 752, can I have a motion? 752, second. Second. Negative second on 752.
Thank you. You made the motion. You can't take it anymore.
I'll second it.
Thank you.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 753. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
I don't know if there was an update provided on.
Several of Brandon, right?
Yeah. Like, is the property being marketed yet?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't
understand.
No, that. That's my question. Even over. Yeah. You met with the listing agent, yeah, or agent, and have come up with a plan that will market it right after the first 2 years so that the MLS will be in 2024, so it's fresh on the market. So we are moving ahead with that. And the contested taxes, I know that was going. It is, we're in discovery with that tertiary. Do you get a timeline on that, or is it just one of those wait and see? I feel like the board is always waiting. I don't want to use the board, but my impression that the documents are due back, and then there will be another possibly called by the judge, and then it shouldn't take that long. I appreciate that we're fighting it. I mean, I think it's the right thing rather than a small way. Brian is. Okay, thank you.
That was exactly what I was.
Any other discussion? Favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 754. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? Get an explanation on what this actually is.
So thank you. Project labor agreements are covered under in the section of statute that is covered. It's covered under local law, under state law. And in order for us to essentially implement a project labor agreement, you have to conduct something called a project labor agreement feasibility study. They used to be called due diligence studies. So we engaged in an agency and conducted a due diligence study. I think we gave you that as part of the background. The legislature by policy basically said any project over $1 million had to go through a project labor agreement discussion. So we did that feasibility study. The recommendation in the feasibility, the conclusion of the feasibility study is that we would save approximately $460,000 on the construction costs. It's hard construction costs associated with the project. And so now we're in the process of basically negotiating that project labor agreement with the representative unions within this jurisdiction.
Yeah, so what is that savings based on? What is the what cost is the estimated cost of building that place? Where is that savings?
It's based on a percentage of the labor costs. So that's the only place you're going to save money is on the labor costs. Typically, it's on overtime pay, it's on specialty pay, it's on use of apprentices. All of those things come into factor. If you go through the study itself, it breaks it out into those categories and estimates the savings by those categories.
So the labor is not going to change the cost of the, I'm not saying it's not going to change, I'm saying it's not going to be, it's a lot closer to a fixed cost than, say, materials and, you know, other things that come up during construction.
Do you have an estimated number of hours that are involved in terms of the construction of the project? Do you have an estimated number of the types of skills that are involved? I believe there's 13 trades, as I recall, from reading the agreement, that are involved in the construction of the project. And then you have a look at how those trades can work more efficiently under a labor agreement. There's also some advantages with respect to working with WICS law under a project labor agreement as well.
That's right, Molly.
Thank you. So with the original plans, I thought there was a lot of concern about the size of the building, multiple media conference rooms, the furniture we were choosing. Wasn't there concerns around that having something to do with the cost?
So this is based on the plans that we had going forward and the discussions that we've had with the legislature based on the 30% plans. We are now at 90% and we're looking at the documents now with respect to what the most recent project labor cost, the project cost would be based on those 90% plans. This looks at a hard construction cost, I believe, about $17 or $18 million.
So we never revisited. I know I spoke to people that were concerned about the overall, the size of the building, the plan we came up with to begin with. I mean, furniture was, there was some huge numbers. We're going full steam ahead and we're looking for cost savings. We're figuring out ways to pay people less. Build the thing essentially, which is fine.
So the answer to your question is we did revisit a lot of the pieces of the project, but not the size of the building. So we did revisit the furniture. We did revisit some of the layouts of the project. We took a look at some of the areas where we could save money in that instance, but we did not revisit the size of the building. Having looked at it again and again and again, it was thought that we needed a building of that size.
What are we at approximately? What, 25 to 35 rather quickly? Do we have a number right now?
I think we're going to come back to you as soon as that those numbers are done. We'll come back to the legislature with a 90% estimate.
Did we, just back to the size of the building, and then wasn't there multiple media rooms? I mean, it was a pretty large building. No committee I serve on ever had these long discussions with the executive branch of government with the plans? Have we discussed with the legislature on major decisions like this? I mean, we're talking about tens of millions of dollars and a project that looked like it was trending to go more. Those decisions were made by who to stick with this overall design?
They went through all of the discussions with the legislature as it related to the size of the building. We looked at the conference rooms that were in the building. There's only two, as I recall. We looked at changing the size of the PSAP from about 30 people. And we looked at the number of people that were in the building from a standpoint of the numbers of offices, et cetera. And looking at all of that, the thought was is that if we wanted to build a government operations center to meet the public safety needs of the county, we needed the building the size that it was proposed at.
Yeah. You know, I'm just overall disappointed. I feel like what you have, what a lot of times an emergency, it's going to be weather related around here. You know, there's terrorism, there's a lot of different things. With the size of the county we have, I've always thought more of a satellite approach was what we needed. I didn't think we needed a Taj Mahal. It seems like we stuck with the Taj Mahal, and what you just described was hours and hours and hours of discussion that I don't know ever happened in a legislative meeting. We'll like to see some special meetings called for us to go, not to get some first responders in on it with the executive and the legislative branch of government. None of that ever happened, and we continue to go down this road, and I'm concerned about what these costs are going to turn into, and then if they are too high, now we've wasted all this time. And now we're going to be back to maybe going with a smaller, more satellite approach, but and with a lot of savings there perhaps, but we're just full steam ahead on this big, huge building, and we'll wait and see where this goes financially. But I'm disappointed the legislature, once again, wasn't a real part of that discussion, it seems.
Mr. Sandoval.
The legislature approved this plan, and it's been moving ahead, and we're going to get reports on it as it goes along to address that part of it. Also, I just wanted to say that project labor agreements, to my understanding, are very much favored and appreciated by the labor unions in the area when we've had them on projects that I've been involved in. It gives a lot of predictability and does maximize efficiencies, and so it's not seen as something that's taking anything away from the workers on a project.
All those in favor? I did want to carry 755. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? All in favor? Oops. So carried. 756. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 757.
Can I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 762. Can I have a motion?
I'll move for discussion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? Let's see. Let's.
Thank you. After the last session, I brought up a bunch of things that I would like to add to this amendment. One, well, some of them are going to be done, I guess, by the county executive next February, and I'll enter into more conversation with county executive about that. But when the governor signed this law for us to do this, he included a paragraph with regards to short-term rental. But our local law number 19 does not identify short-term rental in our law. So I'd like to amend the third paragraph of the law where it states Ulster County to authorize and empower the County of Ulster to change its hotel, delete and, put a comma, motel and short-term rental room occupancy tax. And then the other amendments are what was originally in there on or after the first day of January 2024. Hereby imposed, there shall be paid a tax of 4% upon a rent of every occupancy, a room or rooms in a hotel, motel, or short-term rental in this county, except for the tax shall not be imposed on permanent residents, exempt organizations. And I guess the someone had redacted the last portion of the section B 312-10, where it says after deducting the amount necessary for administration, that from there to the end of the paragraph has been removed. I think the governor, you know, when it took her a while to sign the law, and I think a lot of it had to do with short-term rental, and it wasn't that she just, you know, signed it or whatever. She added the paragraph to add short-term rental. So I think we should add it to our law.
I'll let Mr. Bartle
chairman. First of all, I mean, I don't have the copy in front of me that Legislator Lynch is referring to, but going on memory, I think it's not a paragraph on short-term rental. It's adding a word, short-term, then those words, short-term rental. Yeah, it's not creating a new paragraph. It's just adding and short-term rental.
No, the governor's law added the paragraph.
Where's the paragraph? The governor. When I read the governor's law, it just added those three words. Okay, that would be helpful. I mean, one of the challenges that we face has to do with
this is the paragraph she added, rate such chat upon short-term rentals.
Oh, gotcha. Thank you. Permanent residence, short-term rentals. Okay. What Legislator Liz is proposing, we have to come to the agreement that it was strictly a technical amendment because the rules are pretty clear that we can't amend without meeting some very strict timing requirements. And so we can't just go ahead and amend substantive changes. I would want to hear what all the attorneys' thoughts are on putting this proposal, like these three words, in a couple places, which is what Legislator Lips is proposing, right? And short-term rental, well,
that's what it sounds like. The basket.
Yeah. So I would need to, like, I think we would need to hear from council if that was considered technical on how it supported with the requirements. Because, again, they're not noticing requirements for in terms of public hearing. It's in terms of the body having the appropriate time with the amendment in its proverbial or digital hands. And we don't meet those requirements right now. We're going to have conversations about that in a bit. But
the same way.
Yeah. Before I make any other comment or ask any other question, is there time for the time requirements? Is there times to put together? It's 7. I mean, could we have a?
I can answer this because I spent a lot of time on this today.
Because there's other amendments being
made. Yeah. So the short answer is proposed in the timeline proposed for next. For the meeting proposed, the answer is no, because the timeline is 7 days on the death, not counting the day you put it on the death, not counting Sunday, and not counting the day it's voted, or 10 days via digital transmission if you reasonably believe everyone has an email, not counting Sundays. We don't comply with that regarding the 18th, so the short answer in terms of anything is of substance is no. Again, this has nothing to do with notice to the public or the public's ability to hear or see or speak. That's public is not considered in our form of government. It's a may, not shall, but the body is considered and the rules are strict.
Could we schedule a new meeting, though? Is it doable if we, are there things we can do to make
yes. it? And that's something that I would like to talk about once we get through this meeting.
Okay. Well, we may need to talk about it now, though, because there's things. Sounds like that's reasonable. At times, you got to admit you're wrong, and I got to admit I was wrong to go along and rush it through for a month. There's too many of these amendments, many of which I'd like to see now, that aren't in there. So for me, I would be looking for either another meeting before the end of the year, or a postponement until and dealing with this in January. But either way, there's too many of these amendments that too many of us feel strongly about for me to move on and leave them out.
I mean, this is the first amendment that I'm hearing of from a sponsor of an amendment, and this amendment, and again, I'm not advocating for this, I'm just speaking really technically in terms of the response. This amendment may be technical. Maybe that all of our attorneys say this is a technical amendment and this one's good. The other amendments I haven't seen, and that's not to say that they don't exist. They were alluded to by public comment, but they were alluded to without anyone having them in front of them. I think that there's a lot to discuss about how to.
I just think that it would be prudent for us to take up any amendments that may come forward tonight. Otherwise, every day we're moving a day further out. If we took up the amendments tonight and then we have our meeting on Monday and this resolution's taken up on Monday, then, you know, it's a moot point. You can, as chair, rule that the amendments were out of order because the timeline wasn't adhered to. If we don't pass the amendment tonight or vote on the amendment tonight, then every day afterwards it goes out further and further and further to the point where we'll all some of us will be out of office.
Can I ask for you to just clarify? I'm trying to follow what you're saying.
So the reason, I mean, with all due respect, the reason that we can't do the amendment tonight is because this is, you know, a very accelerated time frame. That was, you know, begun last month when y'all suspended the rules to, you know, have a resolution and then have a public hearing at a special meeting and then have you know, the resolution voted on at our next meeting, which is now. Typically, we'd have several months to deal with these, you know, local laws. This one we're doing inside of a month. Less than a month, actually, I believe, because our meeting's on a Monday, not Tuesday. My point is, if we vote on amendments tonight, if there's the will of the Ways and Means Committee to vote on amendments, Legislator Listen, I know that Legislator Maloney has one, you know, that he wants to bring forward as well. I think it's Legislators Maloney and Roberts have an amendment that would pertain to all inclusives.
Right.
And Nolan. It would behoove us to take up those amendments tonight if they're going to pass, if there's any chance they're going to pass, because then we have 7 days, not including today, not including Sundays,
yeah.
You know, to be able to vote on them afterwards, rather than have to wait if we're going to vote on them on session night, then 7 days after that, not including that day, not including Sunday.
Okay, I understand. We can't do it that way. Again, potentially with the exception for legislator list, what may be technical. If it's technical, then that's an exception. The substantive ones you're talking about, we can't, Ways and Means can't, that's not procedurally correct for Ways and Means to take it up, whether it's going to pass Ways and Means or not. What's procedurally correct would be in the event that there were to be a meeting scheduled within the appropriate time, would be for those amendments to be laid on the table and noticed now, and the clock starts now. Ways and Means can't vote on it now, but it would mean it could be voted on X amount of days from now.
I don't agree with that because I believe that General Municipal Law says that the law has to be in its final form for that amount of days. And having an amendment on the table doesn't put the law in its final form.
Yeah. Where is Councilor Ragucci? We've done it over and over.
Rosendale Park?
No, he's here. I mean, I have line in front of me. I can pull up.
So just say Liz.
I'll give you
the.
It's
going to
take me a
while.
But if we wait until.
So, like, you
want to speak? Then it just keeps giving. Maybe I don't know.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just getting. I mean, yes, this right asks, we got it back from the governor's band. The day will be a day shy of a month, but this is something we've been working on as the legislature and going through multiple rounds throughout this last term. I'm just curious what all of these, we're talking about amendments that no one knows what the additional amendments are.
Yeah,
and I can speak to
it. I'm just kind of, for the greater good here, the time we're spending, what are these amendments? Rhetorical about amendments, you know. No one's saying what they are.
I mean, the amendment that I understand from legislators who are not myself is that the occupancy tax charged on all inclusives, right now 40% of it is attributed to the room rent and 60% is attributed to all of the other all-inclusive options that they have. My understanding is that the all-inclusives, two of them in particular, the two main all-inclusives, Rock and Horse Ranch and Mohawk Mountain House have, you know, provided documentation to prove that 20% of their operations is in the room version of it, and then 80% is in the all-inclusive options, the amenities, the meals, everything like that. And the county could actually reduce the percentage that is attributed to the room rent for all-inclusive to 20% without losing a dime from them because we're doubling the occupancy tax under this law. So it wouldn't be a net loss to the county from those properties. It would just be status quo, essentially. Right. It doesn't go up, but it doesn't go down.
So the question,
I guess it's more of a
to comment. The sponsors, maybe, not me.
Well, no, it's more of a comment. So, you know, this is just a numbers game. You know, if we reduce it to 20% instead of 40% and increase the rate to 4%, there's no impact to their bill. Is that correct?
Yes.
Right. And so is that fair to the other non-all-inclusives? Why shouldn't their room rate go up equivalent to every other room rate in the county? That's my question. I have no problem, you know, doing that, right? You know, I know that now if we have seen documentation, which I haven't seen, that 40% is now 20%.
I believe that their position is that it's always been 20%, but they were being charged 40%.
I still haven't seen any documentation.
Fair enough.
Either way. And so that's where the law is today, right, that 40% of that. So, you know, to select, you know, we always talk about, you know, cherry-picking specific businesses and agencies and things like that. And to me, this is cherry-picking two businesses, really. They're going to pay a lower rate. They're not going to pay a lower rate, but they're not going to be impacted by a 2% increase in motel tax. We're doing that for everybody, we'd have a flat, no gain at all. Why should we not be doing it for everybody?
Can I just make a quick point of order?
Yeah.
I just want to pause in this auspicious occasion and just point out that legislators Maloney and Nolan are co-sponsoring something. And just everyone just pause for one moment and sit in that. Thank you.
Fair point. Care of ourselves.
Yeah, so the guidance is clear that when amendments are contemplated, that the amendments must be on the table of the body for this prescribed period of time. So we can't vote on an amendment that we haven't seen, that's substantive today, and the clock starts ticking. The amendment must be circulated and must be on the, again, proverbial table or digital account for a prescribed amount of time. Those are two different sets of periods of time. So, yes, the clock starts ticking, and yes, we need to have a discussion because there are other aspects to discuss, but we cannot consider a substantive change today, just wait a means, take it up, and then the clock starts ticking. The entire legislature needs to propose amendments on their physical desk or in their email accounts, 7 days for the physical desk, 10 days for the email accounts, minus Sunday, minus the day you put it down. And that's how the clock starts ticking. Again, legislator Lynch, four words, may be technical and may, if there's agreement, be able to be moved without affecting that time period. But the other amendment is most certainly substantive. I don't think anybody argues, and it's an amendment. And that, you know, the municipal law is pretty clear that happens in terms of every amendment. So I'm not saying there isn't a path, but I'm saying there is no path to, like, pass something at Ways and Means right now. It's particularly, in addition to the fact that we haven't even seen what it is that we're talking about past.
That's there, Mom.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. We described it. 20 from 40 of 2 to 20 from 4. But Legislator Cahill asked a minute ago, is it fair to allow all inclusives not to be treated like hotels? I asked if it's fair to actually treat them the same, because they're very different. It's absolutely not cherry picking, because cherry picking is taking a group of businesses that are alike and choosing one, like we do in tourism all the time, and featuring that one campground or that one business. This is all inclusive. We're taking the entire industry. There's only a handful of them. It's an industry. And we're saying, yes, they deserve to be treated differently than a hotel. Why? I think it's pretty basic. Look, go to one of these all inclusives and see what you get. Horseback riding, skiing, water parks, pools, trainers. They employ electricians, plumbers, HVAC. Hundreds and hundreds of people. These are the two main ones are two of the biggest employers we have in the county.
Yeah.
And they're making a fair request not to be treated like a hotel, because they're absolutely not a hotel, and they are a huge economic driver. They are a huge tourism driver, and we always talk about, look, if you stay in a hotel in this county, unless you're unfortunately one of the many residents without a home staying in a hotel, but the other hotels and motels are predominantly people from outside the county. I go to Mohawk Mountain House. I've taken my family to Rocking Horse Ranch. This is also for county residents. They charge a lot of money. They can put a ton of money. They pay their property taxes. They pay a huge employee base. It's a reasonable request that they don't get treated like a hotel, because they are not a hotel. No one goes there. You just happen to stay overnight to enjoy all these other things. You are not there for the bed. That's what the bed tax is. What was the intent of the bed tax? Who were the businesses we were intending to tax? It was not all-inclusive. These are huge, huge employers here. They're a huge part of our economy, and I think it's a very reasonable request, and there is a path forward, and it may require another hour of our time as legislators before the end of the year to get this done this year and line it up, which is, I think, fair to do.
Senator Nolan?
Yes. I actually think that the change in the all-inclusives percentages is a technical amendment, because what the law does is allow us to tax, to increase the tax from 2 to 4% on the bed, on the occupancy. And the claim is here that this 40-60, the 60-40 is inaccurate. And I believe that's true from my years going back over a decade with the Tourism Advisory Board, seeing data from this industry. The amount of monies that they put to allocate towards their occupancy is 20%, not 40%. So I don't know where the 40-60 came from. That seems wrong to me. And when I was contacted about this with the notion that there was an amendment on this aspect of this law, that made perfect sense to me. Because otherwise what we're doing is we're increasing the tax on their rooms from 2 to 4%, but we're also adding a 2% tax to restaurant sales, horseback riding, all these activities, recreations that we're not entitled to do. We don't have permission from the state to increase the sales tax, which is basically what getting the percentage wrong here would do. So that percentage and changing it is, to me, just technically getting it right, what percentage of their price is actually the occupancy tax, which we're entitled to raise. And conversely, I think that adding in, I'm sorry to say this, but I think it's true, that adding in short-term rentals is not a technical amendment. It is adding in an industry that was not present in the law. It should have been, but it apparently wasn't. So I think that needs to be addressed, and I think we just should figure out the logistics on it. Make both those changes.
Mr. Roberts.
Thank you. I echo Legislator Maloney and Sponsor Nolan. I'd like to correct Joe on one thing. He said that Mohawk and Rocky Horse are the two main inclusives. They're the only two in the county right now. We should be protecting these businesses, helping them out. The business model from 1991 that these two businesses and eight other businesses, inclusive businesses that have failed over the last 30 years has changed. Steve had probably 10, 12 horses back in 1991. He has 150 now. His bed bill alone is $150,000. That's astronomical. That's crazy numbers right there. We should be protecting them. They employ hundreds of people, both of them. Back then, they didn't have a water park. So, yeah, that 40% might have made sense back in 91, but it doesn't make sense right now today.
Let's do this.
I don't know. Two short months ago, I stood before this legislative body because you put an amendment on my table 13 minutes before we voted on it, but now we need 7 to 10 days. We constantly have amendments that come to us on the day of session, and we vote on them. I don't understand. I guess you can use the rules when you want to or break them when you want to. the last session, we actually suspended the rules so we could pass something through, but we're not willing to do it this session because, I don't know, it's not a good idea.
Sure.
Thank you. I just have a quick point and a question. One point is that for folks listening at home, do I know one of the main all-inclusives lobbying for this, Mohawk Mountain House? If you don't know about them, this company that we're talking about helping, you can read about them in the August edition of Forbes magazine. I'm actually kind of shocked about the sentiment about calling out for this from some of the individuals based on their positions on previous items before us. So my question is, so do we have a definition of all-inclusive? Because, like, for example, you know, I represent the Woodstock Inn. They provide waterfront access to the Mill Stream. Public can't access that because the county shut down access to the Mill Stream off the county road on the other side. But they provide public private access to a really nice swimming pool. They also, I know, bring in Moonrise Bagels. They bring in Bread-Alone Bagels. They provide a nice little spread in the morning for the. So do they qualify as all-inclusive? I'm just curious. That's an honest question.
Yeah, they don't qualify. They don't.
Well, what do we have a definition?
Come on. This is an attorney question. Well, when the attorneys return, I guess you can ask.
I can answer it. So,
I'd rather. You're going to be in a minute. Don't worry. I got you on the list here. Legislative KO.
Thank you. So, for me, you know, what's preventing, is there anything in the law that would prevent, say, your Marriott's, your Hilton's, from saying, okay, so now, my pool, my gym, my breakfast, my dog park, my playground, ping pong table, billiard table, any other thing that they include in the room rate is now going to be considered part of an all-inclusive rate, and then they deduct that from their overall cost and say, now your bed tax, you know, your room, your bed is actually only $50, but all these other things cost me $70 a night for you to stay there. So now, your 4% is going to be based on $50, not $120. Is there anything in the law preventing that from happening? Because for me, you know, I just think it's so convenient that the two biggest anti-bed tax lobbyists are the only two who are going to be impacted by this in the county. I know there are other semi-all-inclusives. They're not to the degree that Rocky Horse and Mohawk are. Of course, they're world-class destinations, and we recognize that. And we certainly appreciate the jobs and what they bring to the community. They draw people in year after year after year, and they've contributed through volunteerism, through all kinds of different things, charities, hosting charity events at their facilities. I understand that. But to select those two, the only two in the 8 years that I've been serving this legislature that have actually lobbied this legislature to not do something are getting exactly what they want. That's exactly what they've been lobbying for from day one. They don't want their room tax to go up. And if we approve that, then that's what will happen. And again, I want to be assured that these other major corporations, when they catch wind of this, and they will, they're going to say, oh, wait a minute, this is unfair. Now my playground, my dog park, the ping pong table, the free breakfast, the water I give you when you walk in the door, the gym, the pool, those are now part of an all-inclusive package. Your bed is $50 or $40. Not the $180 that we're charging. That's what I'm afraid is going to happen here. And guess what's going to happen then? Then we lose money on bed tax, right? So unless that's clearly spelled out, right, then I'm very reluctant to change that 40% to 20%. Thank you.
Councilor Gucci, so there's a question right now about is there an actual definition of all inclusive, if you're aware?
I'm actually looking that up right
now. Okay.
I'll forward you.
Legislator Criswell.
I had a question about who created the 40-60 split. Is that the county that created that? Is that the state that created that? Sorry, I'm hearing five different answers.
So the 1992 law contains those tables, and if you look at the State Department of Taxation and Finance has guidance on sales taxes that has almost identical tables, and it's there's an opinion from the State Department that that's an acceptable way to allocate revenue, and that's what we've done.
But it's not a state law, it's a county law.
It's a county law, of course.
Thank you.
Mr. McKee?
So I was back reviewing the law when it was first established in 1991. And in 2007, we increased the occupancy tax for a temporary period of time from 07 to 2010. And at no time did we ever adjust it for the all-inclusives. So now, again, with the lobbying, they are looking at, and you know, I as Chair Bartel said, she also did, went on to one of the websites and, you know, attempted to rent one of their weekend getaways. And if we're figuring that at 40%, it's $320 just for the room, not for the other $600 worth of service. It's $6.40 now, and would be $12.80 with the new tax on it. I also do not feel that we should be separating out two organizations that do charge for a room. When you do have hotels that also allow swimming, also allow access to gyms, also provide breakfast, you know, so it's just the higher priced ones include a little bit more. I think it would open us up if we were to separate it out and say, no, well, it doesn't include these two. Even though now they are covered under our occupancy tax, that it could open us up for litigation. And if this is a little bit more of a stretch, but when we did this with our bag law, we included all bags having a surcharge so that it couldn't be challenged in court because we were only agreeing to do plastic bags. And it was challenged in New York City and it was challenged in Brooklyn. So I think eliminating these two would open us up for that as well.
Chair Bartel, you're right.
Oh, wow, that was from a while ago.
Don't worry. So when we started talking about this like a year ago, I started researching where the guidance, where our language came from. I did a lot of work with Amber from our team to research this, had some conversations with the hotels, did some research about resort fees, how they calculate their resort fees. I think there are actually a number of other hotels that have some level of all-inclusivity that could potentially be covered by this. But Minority Counsel is absolutely correct that there is state guidance. It's not a state law that's imposed on us, but it is state guidance that we have the opportunity to follow, and we have done so, that basically outlines levels of taxation based on how much is offered at the property. And the different categories are if they offer the room, breakfast, and some other charge, if they offer room, lunch, and some other charge, if they offer room, dinner, and some other charge, if they offer room, breakfast, lunch, and some other charge, if they offer room, breakfast, and dinner, and some other charge, they offer room, lunch, dinner, and some other charge, and the final category, which is what we've all been talking about as all-inclusive, is room, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and some other charge. That is the final category. It is the lowest tax category that the New York State guidance recommends, and it is 40%. There is no lower category based on that. So I have been hearing for years from the all-inclusives, as we were referring to them, which just all it means is that they're on what sometimes it's like referred to as all-inclusive, but it basically just means three meals, some other charge, and the room.
And after hearing about how unfair it is, I did the research to identify, is it unfair? And based on the New York State guidance, that is the, that 40% is the lowest amount that is stipulated. There is no lower amount in the guidance document from New York State. And so once I discovered that, I kind of stopped pressing on this and researching if we should do something lower, because we were already giving them the most preferential percent that the state outlined. And so that was kind of the end of my research, frankly. And I told this to them. I said, I don't think there's going to be a lot of appetite for going beyond what the state stipulates. It sounds like now there is an appetite for it, and of course that's for us to decide. But the reality is there's a clear definition of what we are referring to as an all-inclusive, which is three meals, some other charge, and the room, and it is right now the guidance is 40%, and that is exactly what we have. Doesn't mean we can't do something else, but we're basically giving them exactly what the state outlines, and it's very, very clear.
I believe, I mean, that's many years ago they came out with that guideline, and bed tax just keep going up. I don't think New York State anticipated bed tax being at 6, 8, 10, and going and going. That's where we're going. This comes down to a couple of very unique, huge employers here in the county that are unique to Ulster County. Ulster County is fairly unique with the amount of, with the few huge all-inclusives that we have within some others. And that's a huge part of our economy. You know, all they're asking is that we don't tax. This isn't a handout. We do a lot of those. We give a lot of money out to businesses, to not-for-profits, to, we give a lot of money out with very little thought about it. But this is just a tax that's not going to add to the overall bill. These are companies that are huge employers that literally are competing with companies. One of the only things we can say this way, companies in Ulster County that employ this many people that are literally competing in the tourism field or business from around the world. People from other continents commonly come here specifically to go and bring money to our county because of them. And all they're asking is for us to help them keep the high costs that it is and them going. I think it's a fair, they're the private sector. They're going to be attacking these pennies in every way. They're making decisions on a daily basis that keep the price at a number that they're profitable and existing, where other businesses, like Kevin said, that operated like them have all died. There's only a couple of them left. And and for us to take this approach and want to treat them like everyday motels and look for every single reason to do that is, I think, government and a lot of people in government forgetting about what the private sector really is and how hard it is to exist in the private sector, especially on the level that they're existing, to our benefit, to our tax benefit. And the amount of taxes that they produce for this county is huge. And they're just asking us to help them keep their costs down, not by handout, just by not raising the tax on their customers. That's what they're asking for. And I actually think it's fair. And I'm usually against things like this, but this is just a fair ask, in my opinion. I say no.
Yes. The information from Legislator Hutchell is very helpful, and it's what I've been basing my arguments on. The industry, the state gives guidance to the industry that goes to those three meals plus one other charge. That other charge language means it could be a spa hour or two, or it could be some other thing that the patron would likely have to go somewhere else to get. The most that they go to is the three meals plus the one other charge. Both Mohawk Mountain House and Rocking Horse Ranch offer their customers multiple other charges in a given day. I mean, 5 or even 12 would not be impossible at these places. So the state guidance does not actually capture them, and that's what they've been arguing for over a decade, that we went with the 60-40. You know, we had a good reason to do that. The state gives that guidance, but it's not actually mandated. And so they've been asking to be treated more fairly for a long, long time. They didn't want the increase in the tax rate, but they've accepted that. They came here over the years, not just on their own behalf, but they were leaders in the Lodging Bureau. And I attended the Tourism Advisory Board and Lodging Bureau Board meetings, all of the hotels and motels that were there, which were dozens, wanted them to come and speak on their behalf here because they had staff to do that, but a lot of the smaller hotels, the inns, did not. So to call them lobbyists, again, I think is just inaccurate. They are there speaking on their own behalf, but they were also speaking for the industry. So now we've gone to this increase in the tax rate, and they're saying, look, this long-standing inequity of 60-40 when it should have been more like 20-80 for them should be corrected now. Otherwise, they get hit twice on this. And that's why I think it's fair. I think there's absolutely nothing to stop us from changing it because it's already written into our law that these two are being treated differently. They're the only ones that are in the 40-60 category. The argument, I believe, is most fairly held, is what's the correct proportion of what they offer their patrons as a room in ratio to what they offer as these other charges, and it definitely has to be plural for both of those places. There's nobody that goes to those places and doesn't rent a canoe and do something else.
Sir Hewitt? I have my question answered. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks. The breakfast, lunch, dinner, and other charge is actually for sales and use tax. I think if we were just extrapolating that onto the occupancy tax. So I think that the assertion's right that it's not required. You know, just by a basic Google search just now, the average hotel rate in Ulster County is somewhere around $135. If you look at the Best Westerns and the Hampton Inns and places of that nature, lower if you go to Village Motel and places like that, higher if you go to a couple of the higher-end places. But I'd say the average is about $135 a night based on my quick Google search here. You know, the average rate at the place that we're talking about is between $600 and $900 a night. So if you want to talk about what makes sense, 20% makes a lot more sense than 40% when it comes to what rooms actually charge in Ulster County. So, you know, to me, I do want to follow up on what Kathy Nolan said. You know, these people, with all due respect to those who call them lobbyists, these people do have lobbyists. It's the New York State Hospitality Association. They come themselves. These are longtime business owners that own businesses here, the family business that span, you know, generations, you know, and rocking horse with the Turks, you know, for you know, as long as I can remember in Ulster County. You know, they're coming here themselves and they're pleading with us, as they have for years when attempts have been made to raise the occupancy tax, to, you know, think about what a room rate really is versus all the amenities. You know, the guidance on hotels and motels doesn't even include other charges. It just includes meals. And that one sets 50-50 for meals and the room charge. You know, I think that, you know, this legislature can exercise its own common sense and understand that, you know, these are not at, you know, it's not a Hampton Inn. It's not a Holiday Inn. This is, you know, a place that has snow tubes. We're not charging, you know, occupancy tax on, you know, Bel Air or Hunter Mountain. You know, we're not, you know, they have numerous amenities that you would need to go and pay X number of dollars for that are being included in your stay. You know, that will inevitably, if we keep this at the 60-40, be taxed as a room rent.
Thank you. First, I just want to remind folks, we are asking these businesses to collect a 4% tax from the large percentage of which the residents will be coming out of Ulster County. Just want to make sure the minutes reflect that and we don't lose sight of that fact, because otherwise I fear, you know, eventually with some of the items we're talking about in the future, just in today's meeting, we're going to have to find revenue, folks, and we could end up like Dutchess County that just not only raised their hotel occupancy tax to 5%, a whole point, they also had to raise their sales tax 3/4 of a percentage, putting a price tag of $10 million on the residents of Dutchess County. So, you know, I just want to point that out. I am curious. I'm not sure if I read about this in the Forbes article about Mohawk Mountain House, but it is publicized with a simple Google search. And I really question this body that if we think someone is paying for the $3,000 a night suite at Mohawk, are they not paying that $3,000 for the room, or are they doing it for the canoe? I just really want to question that. And, you know, I question if it is publicly available. I haven't done this research. If the annual revenue from these two businesses is publicly available, or they're willing to share from the Smiley family or the owners of the other business. I do know that Mohawk has sold off millions of dollars of land in the last couple of decades. I know in 2011 they sold off a market price value of about almost $3 million of their acreage. The good thing, it was to NOI. OSI. It was to OSI, so it will be still be protected. The bad thing is the local municipalities lost a big chunk of change off the tax rules. I don't think Mohawk at all, you know, made them whole in any which way, but again, at least it will be protected. So I am curious, you know, when you do type in value of Mohawk Mountain House, you know, it doesn't give you the exact dollar. It says things like Hotel Empire and, you know, talks about all, uses words like empire and stuff like that to describe their hotels, that because of their rooms have been featured in Hollywood films like The Shining, most recently Billions. Because of their rooms were featured. So then I guess I have to talk to the Woodstock Inn to see, because they offer trails, which when I tried to book at the Mohawk Mountain House, I could get a two nights, the minimum, maybe, I think it was like 3 months out, because you're not booked through the winter. So I guess if like Bill Clinton stays there, you're popular. And for two nights, I think my bill was about $3,000. It does say taxes to be added after that. I didn't want to put in my credit card information and find out what was to be added, which would have been the current occupancy tax. But then I was like, all right, so this weekend, let me see what my big all-inclusive activity is. If I'm lucky enough to get that weekend and afford that weekend, I can take a peaceful group walk. That was their activity. So I guess Woodstock Inn has trails, private water and swimming, private fishing, which I know they offer at Mohawk, maybe bird watching, maybe a Bob Dylan impersonator. And then they get lunch, breakfast they already included, and they start including lunch from Catskill Mountain and dinner from Allison's. And we're starting to get up to that 6, 5, 7 level charges. So I just really hope we move forward in uniformity for the entire county, and we can get this done so we can get some outside revenue into our county, so we don't have to break our streak of, at least I know, 8 or 9 straight budgets without a property tax increase and so on, and get this done for the new year.
Thanks. As I hear about the evil rich empires, I do want to point out to everybody that the Smiley family donated Minnewaska State Park to the state park system. So, these evil rich people that sell off millions of dollars worth of land also donated millions and millions of dollars
evil?
Worth of land to the state, to the state park system.
Did I say that? Did I say evil?
I was inferring facts that were I believe being insinuated when talking about the millions of dollars that they made off of a land sale that went to a not for profit that's going to keep it forever wild.
I said that was great.
I that's not the way I heard it.
Yeah.
I didn't even say the word great.
Gentlemen.
I believe with all due respect, the legislator said it was great that it went to OSI, but it was millions of dollars to the Smiley family. It wasn't that the sale was great. That's not what I heard. I don't know what everybody else heard.
All right, let's say we're on to your next.
You know, John, I could have used you over the last couple of years, whether it was Penrose, the billion-dollar developer, what we're paying for jail demo we weren't supposed to, billions of dollars in solar, the property basically for free. I didn't hear anything about it. We didn't demonize the billion-dollar developer. When some of the same people we're talking about here, you know, we're buying a piece of property, and I think we could have negotiated a little harder, probably saved millions, nothing to say. But now with this, we're suddenly demonizing two of the more successful people
families in the county. And just so you know, when I went to the all-inclusive, my family and I did horseback riding, we skied, we snowtubed, we did some ice skating, we did laser tag, went to an arcade, swam in an indoor water park, watched a movie in a movie theater, and listened to a band play. So the idea that we're going to pay 4% of what you pay for all that and treat it as though it's a bed tax, it's just not fair. It's just not fair. And I just don't know where all this toughness comes from when we really needed it, when we really should be holding people's feet to the fire. We haven't for 2 years. And now on this one, I'm just struggling to figure out why we're going to add a little to these bills that I'd like to keep them down and keep functioning in Ulster County as long as possible.
Mr. Seelitz?
Thank you. Just a few points. Dutchess County would love to have these two businesses in Dutchess County. They don't have any. They would welcome moving it across the river. I think what should be looked into is what would it cost the constituents of this county via taxes they would have to pay if these two economic drivers were not in this county. Our county taxes per capita of our constituents would be a heck of a lot higher than they are, because the amount of sales tax, bed tax, that this industry, property tax, generates for this county. We spend a lot of money on tourism to bring people to our county. And then now we say, oh, these two businesses, oh my God. You know, it's ridiculous. We're talking out of two sides of our face. We spend millions of dollars to bring tourism to this county, and then we want to turn around and badmouth two of the largest economic drivers in this county. Other counties would be happy, I mean ecstatic, to have this type of quality tourism in their county. But I don't know why our county, I don't know, we're just kind of strange, I guess.
Let's say, Kale.
Thank you. So two things. First thing is I just want to read from a webpage here. Ulster County Lodging Coalition effectively communicates a critical role lodging-based hospitality businesses play in Ulster County. That's not the definition of a lobbying group. I don't know what it is. That's the first thing. Second thing is that, they bring in a lot of money. And you know what? Some car dealers. Car dealers probably bring in exponentially more money than those all-inclusive resorts do. Guess what? So do gas stations. Should we be giving those guys breaks because they bring in a lot of tax dollars? No, we shouldn't. We should be treating everybody equally and fairly, right? If that's the tax law for those businesses, then we apply it equally and fairly across the board. The state statute says, or recommendation, it's not a statute, recommendation says 40%. Who are we to go against that? Why are we so special that we think that we can say, oh, you know, you're wrong, it's 20%, right? Because the two major resorts, all-inclusives, have been lobbying for 8 years that I've been here, not continuously, but anytime it comes up, they lobby. And I will stand and defend me calling them lobbyists until my last moment in this legislature, because that's what they are. They may be family-owned businesses, but they bring in people, and they are absolutely lobbying for their industry. And just to dispute that is just inaccurate, right? So those are, like, kind of where I am, you know. These folks don't want the tax to go up because it may impact, you know, the ability of people to stay there at $900 a night. I don't think so. I don't think so. If the small mom and pops that are up along 28 and 32 and some of the rural places, some of the bed and breakfasts are coming up and saying, you know, this really impacts me because, you know, the motel down the road, that 2% might mean that this motel that's not quite as nice as mine might get the business for that $8, right? Because people staying at a $100 a night motel would be much more likely to spend $98 versus $102, right? So for me, the argument is in reverse. I don't buy it. I'm never going to support it. And I just think that, you know, us selecting these two
businesses in the county is totally unfair to the other hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in the hospitality business that offer motel beds or hotel beds.
Sure.
Thanks. With all due respect to Legislator Cahill's point on car dealers bringing in more money, if I buy a car in Cayuga County, you have to pay the sales tax here. So, it's not necessarily an apples-to-apples discussion because, county residents aren't paying a bed tax to Ulster County when they're staying in Seneca Lake or any place like that. The way
they just don't have revenue came up there.
Just going back to the lobbyists, the tourism, lodging coalition, it's a business group, the same like the Chamber of Commerce and other places, and they come and talk to us all the time. And I don't see us, decrying what they say, what these other businesses say when we talk about them coming to lobby us. Yeah. With the definition of a lobbyist, yes, they are coming to lobby the government in favor of their businesses. But to use the word lobbyist as I believe you do, with all due respect, it's like the paid lobbyists that go up to Albany and lobby the state legislature. They do have those lobbyists. The Lodging Coalition, they pay those lobbyists the same way that every other business organization. But that's not who's coming here to talk to us. Who's coming here to talk to us are the people who run these businesses, and they're saying this is going to hurt my business. And here's why. And they're saying, use some common sense. Look at all of these things, and this is how much money a hotel room is elsewhere in the county, in different other places that don't include a five-star chef, that don't include a sledding hill. And I understand, the inclination to say, well, these people are rich folks who are coming here to Ulster County. They can afford the extra money, so what do we really care? They're not going to not go to Rocky North Ranch because they're going to pay an extra $50 or $100 in a bed tax. Who cares if it doesn't make common sense? It's going to help our revenue. We're not going to get voted out of office because of it, because our residents can't afford to go to Mohawk Mountain House or to Rocky North Ranch because they're working two jobs to pay the mortgage. But, the New York City folks, they can pay that extra money, and they're not going to vote for us in our election. So, really, who cares if they have to pay more money? What's not being talked about are the hundreds of people who work at these places who deliver to the economy, who deliver, and pay their bills and pay their property taxes. The economic impact of these places goes way beyond the amount of money that we're going to make on the bed tax. And, I can tell you that members of my family, not now, but have worked at Mohonk over the years. My wife, started out there. A lot of people start their careers at these places. And, I just don't understand why we can't use a little bit of common sense. It's not the state guidance that is being referenced is not for bed tax. The 60-40 has nothing to do with an occupancy tax. 60-40 is about sales and use tax. It's being extrapolated to that, and it was back in the 1990s. But it's not guidance that's given to us saying, county, you should do this. And we do have the discretion to go outside of that. And I think that if you look at the cost of a room at one of these all-inclusives, and you look at the cost of a room at a place that's only a hotel, the number 20%, 25% maybe, if that's more comfortable for people, makes some common sense. Now, one of my good friends, and we adjourned in his memory a couple months ago, Hugh Kroll, he told me when I first got elected to the legislature, make sure to use common sense. And what I've learned is that here in government, common sense isn't very common.
I appreciate the arguments and the compliments to these two businesses for their what they contribute, but my argument here is not that, because I think that would be giving them special treatment. It might be common sense, it might be in our self-interest to give them special treatment, but I would be uncomfortable with that. What I'm talking about is that we are a taxing authority, and when we tax a business I think we have to do that fairly. And using the 60-40 guide, what's a good place to start? Made sense. But these two all-inclusives that we have in Ulster County are almost sui generis. They are almost of their own kind. There aren't that many of them in New York State. There are all-inclusive resorts in the Caribbean. There are places where you can get something. But the difference that was described by Legislator Maloney in terms of the multiple different kinds of things you could get from a whole town, from a whole city, being on one site, that's just not very common. And it's much more, I think, at Rocking Horse than it is at Mohawk. But both of them count in this category of all-inclusives because that's the definitions that we use. But to treat them fairly, when we have the power to tax them, I think we should have them pay sales tax on the things they buy. They should pay all their unemployment taxes. They should do all that. And we should tax them on their occupancy. And I think that the idea that a rough average of $180, $200 a night for a room in Ulster County is approximately correct. If they have to change their business model, then they would probably not charge the rates of $3,000 for that bed. It would, you know, it just would not be the industry standard. So I think we should look at those things that we do with the other hotels and motels and short-term rentals and treat these two businesses as closely as we can to what we're doing to the others, but recognize the differences. And the difference is about 80% of what they charge you is keeping all that other stuff going and making it a unique attraction. They are bringing not only international, as has been said, but huge amounts of business from our neighboring states come here. And they are also bringing with them the people that would like to go to Mohawk Mountain House but can't afford it, but come to someplace else in Ulster County that they can't afford. And some of my friends in the hotel industry, which Shandaken has a lot, their businesses were not able to stay open during the pandemic, and a lot of them have left. I think we should be very careful about overtaxing when we have the authority to tax.
I should care. Thank you, and this will be my last comment. So far, you know, it's been 17 years from the first time I heard from the Smileys and from Emerson at the time, actually, and from the folks at the Rocking Horse Ranch. 17 years in between then and today. And, you know, all I've ever heard is anecdotal evidence about how it will impact the industry, how people will come here. But yet, they've had 17 years to come up with some data to back that up and present it to this legislature and say, hey, here's my proof, but they haven't done that. And why is that? Because you know why? Because it doesn't exist. That's why. Right? And so there's this argument that we're singling these two resorts out, but the reality is we're not the ones that are trying to, I'm not the one, I'll speak for myself, who's trying to get their tax rate reduced. So if anyone is singling out an industry or two businesses within an industry, it's folks who want to reduce those two businesses' taxes, nobody else. Right? So, again, that's my final on that. Thank you.
All right. Let's leave Heber to answer the question.
And just quickly, I've been doing some internet searching. Our Ulster County tourism page was 6 all-inclusive locations. And I'm really surprised that there's not a 7th because they also have tea and cookies at 4 o'clock. But so we shouldn't just include 2 if we're not going to do it.
Nima, if I should. I'm sorry.
So I feel like there are so many questions unanswered right now. What exactly is an all-inclusive? Is this 40-60 split correct? If it's not correct, how do we actually base the number of what the room is versus all the other stuff? How many other entities are out there that would then raise their hand and say, we actually are all inclusives? I just feel like there are a ton of questions. So what I'd like to ask is there a way that we could pass this evening and then pick it up next year to amend it.
Or just postpone.
So, well, what I'm...
Or just postpone.
Okay, so what I'm going to propose and what I've been dealing with much of the day is that we postpone this for 1 week to the next meeting. In the meantime, I would allow, and I'm expecting that the two amendments we discussed, legislator list amendment is already in written form. It will be laid on everyone's desk, so everyone will have that amendment to see. The other amendment with regard to the changing of the formulation, that will also be laid on everyone's desk for everyone to see and consider. Again, this is in keeping with the technical requirements for adopting local laws and the legislative body having the amendments. My expectation also that you'll have a full copy, which will be discussed in caucuses, of the charter revision package, including the technical errors. I know we're a little off subject, but I just want everyone to understand what's happening. The charter revision package, including the technical errors that were identified as a result of transfer from Word to PDF, and some other proposed changes. All of that will be laid on your desk today, will be discussed in caucuses, and in order to be considered in a timely manner, charter revisions could be adopted on Monday, but all of those issues, this piece of legislation and the other two amendments, all considered separately, and the charter package will be considered at a special meeting. That is what I have come to as a result of a very, very, very long day, what I think is the most fair. So we would still have the Monday meeting, considering regular business, the full package of the other two resolutions will be before everyone. You already have the charter one with one meaningful change that will be discussed in caucuses, and a special meeting will be called to handle those two on a timely basis.
So that's postponed 1 week.
I'm asking to postpone this resolution 1 week to the next.
Second.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Discussion? Favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. 763, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second? Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 764, can I have a motion?
I'll move it for discussion.
Second?
I'll make a motion to postpone this
until next meeting.
Okay, I'll second
that. It's a living wage.
It's
the easiest one. $30 million.
I seconded that.
Okay. Just start taking a second to get over the shock that it was even made a second. Okay.
So the season of giving.
Yeah. Discussion.
Such I'm pretty sorry, but I'm just going to bring in your argument. What's the purpose? Is it just, are you just being glib?
No, I'm actually asking, really.
Why are we using
Because we haven't really talked about this one in Ways and Means. The other ones we've all talked about. This is a new one that he's put in, and he hasn't had, was this last month?
We did this during the budget.
Yeah. Well, we did it during the budget, but I'm saying as a standalone resolution, I'm not sure the committee discussed it. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong.
We talked about this week.
We talked about during the budget.
During the budget.
But I don't believe that we talked about this resolution in committee. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong.
This during the budget resolution meeting last month.
Yeah. The budget amendment meeting. This is a resolution that he put in instead of the amendment. That's a thing. Look, benefit of the doubt for legislation.
I hear what you're saying.
I just want to note that the living wage requirement for contractors has not been modified since its original adoption, which I think is 2 years ago. So.
All those in favor of postponing 1 week?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Mr. Roberts, how are you voting?
I vote with my colleague to learn of the change.
So it's 3-3. Postponing fails.
Fair enough.
All those in favor?
Opposed.
Hold on.
Just breathe.
Sigh
of relief.
Tell us that was
on tape. 7:55. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. I'll second it.
Discussion? Favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. New business. We have a position on the fleet management, just ask if anybody is interested. Maybe next week we can take this up as a representative of the Ways and Means Committee.
I move we nominate Legislator Kevin Roberts.
He's already had one great honor, though.
Is he on it from Laws and Rules?
Yeah.
We haven't met yet.
But if you
want to, right? If we put him on twice, does he get two votes?
Yes, two twice to work. Can we just wait the week and
sure
see if people are interested, and you can let us know what else
we can postpone something for a week. Sure.
Well, it's not actually on here.
I'm kidding.
Come from the go.
Sure, I'll try to be brief because I know it's been a long meeting already. I thought I would fill you guys in that we're $5 million ahead of last year in sales tax. That's 3.6% at the same time of year. The comptroller's office is delayed in producing the third quarter report because there are still unposted transactions from the third quarter. So, you know, we're working with finance. We know they have a backlog and they're working through it. But I just wanted you to know because you normally have that report in your hands actually before you vote on budget. And then on the audit side, we've given an extension on reply for the corporate compliance audit. I know that there's corporate compliance policy before you, and I would just note that, you know, we probably will have a set of recommendations next year not to prevent you from adopting Medicaid-required policy now. So I wanted to note that. We're wrapping up CARES 1. And then finally, the last thing I wanted to note is that we are in the midst of the health insurance audit. And I can tell you right now that there's already been a significant change. Those of you who are on the audit committee are aware. The external auditors adopted the our recommendation, which is to create an internal service fund. Ulster County employees have paid into the health insurance program in premium equivalents in excess of $7 million, and that was in the general fund. That has now been segregated out. So an internal service fund was identified as the appropriate vehicle, and I think you'll see some changes, you know, over the next few months to set that fund up. But we are very pleased that the external auditors and the administration agreed with that finding. It's not written up yet, but sometimes you can communicate things before you have the final report to get done. So that's my report for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? I was going to talk about a quick update on the village. Just ask.
So that'll now
make a public hearing.
Okay. And then so there's still an after public hearing. But the language is done. Everybody's happy with it so far.
You're adjourned.
Make motion.
Second.
Okay. Can you say that caucus is